Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Emergency 9 Golf Podcast. We found him, gents. We found him. McLean's alive and well. He's back on the show. So happy to see your face, McLean. How are you, sir?
Just absolutely fantastic to be back. You know, it's just nice to be missed sometimes.
Yeah. I actually had a couple of listeners like, hey, did you ever get a hold of McLean? we did. We got proof of life. Jay Bird's alongside. Jay, how are you doing?
I'm great.
There you go.
Awesome. I'm great.
It's good. Good. Very good. We are back. What are you boys sipping on tonight?
I am back to cold and gold. Corona Light.
Gold.
They're so tasty.
We need to go through like the evolutions of the what are you drinking stage segment from McLean over the few years we've been doing this. It was wine. And then it was beer, and then it was bourbon. Now we're back to beer. You're like Taylor Swift and your errors. You get different alcoholic errors going on.
That's it. I make up and break up with my alcohol all the time. I love it.
You can see that I'm a father of two daughters. So I make a Taylor Swift reference on the podcast.
don't forget to throw that in there.
We know you're a closet Swiftie. It's okay.
No, I'm really not. Not at all. She annoys the hell out of me. So, Jay, what are you drinking?
1792. Nothing fancy. Just a quick pour. The go-to.
I'm just doing water tonight, taking a night off.
Well, what a boring. I mean,
you can't take Tuesday nights off. Like,
I drink a lot over the weekend.
You drank a lot this weekend?
Okay, yeah, you were at a wedding, so you drank more. But yeah, I just drank a lot. I had a long, long day yesterday. I'm tired. I just, you know,
your age is really catching up. You're a crotchety old man already.
I got some grays here in the beard.
Unbelievable.
I see it. That's why I trim the hair so tight. You can't see the grays as much.
I mean, you've been trimming your hair like that for the last 15, 20 years.
Since college.
We don't even know what it looks like. Let it go one time.
No, I don't think so.
Good.
Not having it. So yeah, sorry, just being boring. Trying to recharge the body a little. You know.
Fair enough.
All good. All good.
All right, let's get into a little golf. Peter Malnati, just like everyone saw coming. Just the mule lord. He's like the head of the mules out there, and he represents the mules on the policy board, the rank and file, the journeymen, however you want to phrase them. He's hanging out with Tiger Woods at his house in the Bahamas and meeting with the PIF last week and just spurred him on to greatness. And Peter Malnati gets his second win in his career at the Valspar this past weekend. What do you make of Peppy Peter?
I'm happy for him. That's incredible. I mean, it's great. I mean, I know he had some criticism there a couple weeks ago. I think he and Adam Scott got some exemptions into some events, and that all sparked a whole chain of events there about who do you give the spots to. And like, just because Peter is on the board, did he earn a spot? And, you know, I think Peter would say, yes, I did earn my spot. Now here I am I'm a winner now again for the second time on the PGA Tour. But, I mean, yeah, let's be honest. He's one of the nicer guys on tour. Everybody likes him. He's a very personable guy. He's a very smart guy. But I would say, and he would even say this too, he's not as talented as most of the guys on tour. Probably doesn't hit as far. Well, we know he doesn't hit as far. It probably doesn't hit as good or as close.
We know that.
But I think we've said this on the pod before, my experience with him in the past is, you know, I got done playing with him in Tennessee. Well, I think it was home state. I think was where he's from, but it was one of his first events played a professional event on. And, you know, we finished the round and, you know, nothing spectacular with the guy's game. I'll be honest with you. Like, it just was another player, but I don't think he played all that great, but I just remember like getting done with the round and be like, man, this guy was like the most positive person that I've ever seen or met in my entire life. Like he hit, you know, he didn't hit very good shots. I mean, hits a lot of bad shots, but like it was, did not faze them at all. Like he has the best outlook on golf. And I'm over there, I've shot 400 or 500 par, and I'm cussing and complaining because I know that I need to shoot 800 par to be in the mix because the golf course is easy. But, you know, and here he is, he probably shot 100 or something like that. And he's only looking at the positives all the time. Like, and I think that is his, by far is his strongest attribute, is that he has just got the best outlook and he just really stays in the present when he plays golf and enjoys every single moment, focuses in on every single, you know, present moment. And when he hits bad shots, he just, it doesn't faze him. Like he's not, doesn't bother him. So I don't know. It's cool. Really cool story. I mean, obviously I know him and I have, you know, personal, you know, experiences with him. So it's neat to see a guy like that, you know, win on tour because he's definitely the underdog, I would say, compared to all the other heavy hitters.
Huge. Huge underdog.
Yeah.
Some of it's kind of fun to watch because he does kind of hit it in some weird locations. And, you know, even his stats, you know, around the green, he's not like, you know, leader on tour getting up and down. You know, he's no Abraham Answer. But he just does some wacky stuff. He's a scorer at the end of the day. He figures out a way to get it in. It might not be pretty. Like, I can only imagine, Jay, you know, playing with a guy like that. And I'm not taking anything away from him. He's a two-time tour winner.
Yeah. And we are not.
I am not.
We are not.
But on the backside of it, you know, we've all played with guys like that where you just kind of go around and you watch them play all day and they add it up and they beat you by two and you're sitting there going,
what just happened?
How do you do that? How'd that happen? Yeah. I thought I was four up on them.
Yeah. Yeah. And they just know how to get the ball in the hole, you know, and there's exactly right. That is its own unique skill set. And it's really hard to, put a numerical value to it, you know, no stat. It's just hard to, you know, like, I just, they find a way to get it in, you know, they can top one up the fairway and skank one off to the right and, you know, kind of scull the chip to 20 feet on the green and then make the putt. Like, hey, par. Awesome. I'm still in the games.
That's nice. Yeah, and they're good enough to sneak a couple of birdies in there.
Yeah.
Every now and again, but it's like all the other holes, they just aren't that pretty. You know, I mean, why do you hit it short and in the rough? I'm going to make four. It doesn't matter. Okay. Cool.
Well, yeah. So we were talking about this briefly before we started recording here. So not this year, but I looked at his stats for all of last year. He was 23rd around the greens, 23rd putting. He was 165th approach to the green, and 186th. Off the tee. I mean, that is like the complete opposite player of Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah. Couldn't be more opposite.
Complete
opposite. Or maybe Scheffler's good around the greens, but still, like, you know, and we were joking via text earlier. So he's got featured group coverage this week paired with Scottie Scheffler and Will Zalatoris. Like, two of the top five flushers of the golf ball in the game, in the world. And Peter Malnati cold topped one on Sunday when he won.
He didn't care, though. He's like,
he doesn't care. You're right.
Won. And it doesn't faze the guy.
You could be blind and watch that, follow that group, and know every shot that Malnati hit.
You could hear it. You could hear it.
Oh, that sounded thin. A little clunky. good par, Pete.
Good par. Every hole is like, oh, I mean, good birdie.
He can putt his ass off.
Yeah, he can putt.
I'll say that.
He can. Yeah, that he can. He's good at that.
I mean, he does have a good short game. I mean, he's still, even this year, he's in the top 40, I think, and around the green.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah, he's sixth in putting.
He's actually 93rd in around the greens right now.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm looking, you know, you're saying strokes green around the greens. Yeah. I mean, scrambling, he's 18th, and putting, he's 6th. So, I mean, obviously, he can, that's a perfect stat for him. How do I get the ball in the hole when I'm not hitting it my best?
His one putt percentage, he's 12th because he's getting up and down a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he really is. I mean, he's, if greens and reg, he's 101st. at 66.4%, which is, that's down there.
Well, Mike and I found a weird stat earlier that he was, hang on, I gotta get back to it here. Mike, do you have that stat up?
Yeah, so for the week, explain this to us, Jay. For the week, he was 47th in driving accuracy. He was 59th in driving distance, but he was 4th strokes gained off the tee.
Wow. I really don't know how they rank those two and how they add them together. I mean, it still is an enigma to me. I just trust that the math is right.
So the way I was trying to explain it off, you know, how I think that might be the case is the guys that were hitting it further were hitting it more crooked. So if Peter was only missing the fairway by a couple yards, you know, a step or two into the rough, and the other guys are hitting their balls into the trees, which was very easy to do at Valspar in his
program. They were making bigger numbers with those.
Well, even just that, the value you would get on those individual shots, no matter what they scored on the hole, but just the value on those shots,
yeah,
just being off the fairway is better than being in the trees.
Yeah, which you would probably see something similar if you did strokes gained at, like, you know, the Heritage or something like that, RBC. Yeah. Like, you see a guy, like, you know, guys who are hitting more fairways, even though they're not hitting it long, they're still gaining more strokes because they're in play. Whereas, you know, at RBC, you know, hit it long and behind one of those little, you know, live oaks or something, like, you got no shot. No, it's a bogey or a double. But we all know that most of the PGA Tour stops, driving it far and just in the rough is no problem. You're going to have a huge advantage as opposed to the guy who hits it 40 yards behind you in the fairway.
Yes.
But crazy.
Unless they grow that rough up.
Unless they grow the rough up or they roll the ball back.
You never responded to my email, McLean, so you can no longer add agenda items after this episode already starts.
What do you mean?
Back to Peter, you do got a hand to the guy, like, because so I didn't watch much of it on Sunday. I'll be honest, I was watching college basketball at a friend's house, but I was following along what was going on the app and the leaderboard, and he wasn't really, you know, early in the round, you didn't think he was going to be the guy, and it was, you know, and then he goes birdie, birdie, birdie after making the turn 10, 11, 12. And then birdies the hard 17. You're like, holy shit, you just won by two, you know, and a Cam Young bogey. And it's like, wait a minute. What? I didn't see that coming two hours ago.
I was like, it's crazy. Yeah. I mean, he got it done. You know, like I said, we're kind of poking fun at him in a little bit with his stats. And again, this is all relative, you know, listeners. Obviously, we are not on the PGA Tour. This is, you know, this player has won twice on the PGA Tour, and our total combined PGA Tour wins is zero. So
zero.
0.00.
I think it's going to stay there for a while too. I'm
pretty sure it's going to stay there. But, you know, again, this is all relative to who he's playing against on the PGA Tour. And obviously he's made it work and he's found a way to get it done, given, you know, some of the shortcomings, obviously with distance and so forth. So I don't know. It is kind of cool. Like you said, Mike, underdog, see the underdog win now twice. I mean, there's a lot of really good players on the PGA Tour that have only won once, or, and a lot have won, not won at all. None. I mean, so pretty cool.
Like the next guy pretty I want cool to talk about.
What's that?
Like the next guy I want to talk about. Cam Young. Is he ever going to win on the PGA Tour?
I guess not. I guess not. I mean, I would have thought he would have won two or three times by now, in all honesty.
I thought this was setting up perfectly for him.
This is his third season. He's in his third season right now, right?
Yeah, he's had seven runner-ups.
That's crazy. Take that back. I do think he is going to win. I was joking, but...
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like it. It seems like he's just going to keep not getting it done. I mean, we know
he's lost in a couple like playoffs, that, hasn't he? Or one?
I don't know. I'll check on that for you. The other thing too, I think is this is probably the least of his runner-ups. Like a lot of them, it seems like they have been at some much bigger t- time events. You know what I mean? Then Valspar, so that they kind of like puts more of a spotlight on the runner ups.
Yeah.
For Cam Young. But I mean, he's got what, four top tens in majors. He's got a lot of cuts missed, which is got a weird major record. He either misses a cut or comes in top 10.
And it's true.
I think it's only a matter of time for him, though. I really do. I mean, the guy's just too good.
You would think, but sometimes you never know with these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of one of those guys that the putting just seems to never be there. You know, he drives the shit out of the ball. He flushes his irons. He's got a terrible short game.
Yeah. And he's just steep with his wedges.
His iron play this year has been better than it has, though. I'm looking at the numbers, than in years past. He was kind of usually kind of middle of the road iron player. This year, it's getting there. And I've had issues with his swing. I think he's got an awesome swing for a driver. I'm not crazy about his swing for an iron. You know, just the dynamics of kind of hitting down on it. But he's improved it a whole bunch this year. He's up to 16th strokes gained approach. You know, he's 18th off the tee, which is kind of typically where he is, the top 25 player off the tee. So I just don't know. He's had a bunch of different caddies.
It's always weird.
Always weird, yeah.
You're like, what's going on? Like, are you firing the caddies, or the caddies like, you know, I'm out of here?
Yeah.
I can't imagine too many guys are like, I'm out of here, because it's a good bag to have. It's a lot of money he makes.
Really good bag, yeah. And you got to feel like he's someone that is one of those next breakthrough guys on tour. It's tough to call him a can't-miss kid, but at the same time, it's like, you know, everything he's done, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, did we not put him on the Ryder Cup team?
We kept him off the Ryder Cup team.
Kept him off the Ryder Cup team. But he was right there. Like, he was.
Yeah, he was up there. He was like the highest point getter that didn't make the squad.
Yeah. So, I mean, the guy he's putting himself in good position. I think, honestly, if a guy that's finished second seven times is someone who is comfortable in contention, it's tough to put yourself in second place that many times. And like, he's not necessarily blowing it on the last day. He just hasn't quite gotten over the hump.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
and I would say
those late birdies,
I'd say he's been in contention probably another 7 to 10 times that just didn't finish second. You know, he was, you know, in the hunt on the back nine. I mean, he's been in the mix at least almost 15 to 20 times in his career already. Yeah, and that's, you know, it's eventually, you know, I know there's a little bit of, you know, is this, am I in my own head a little bit, you know, kind of holding myself back? And I'm sure he probably is a little bit, but a little bit of it is just luck, and somebody else plays great at the end. And I think once he can kind of let go of that and just allow himself to do what he does, and then I would imagine he's going to win 3 to 5 times on tour.
Yeah, but he's had 10 top fives, 15 top tens.
That's
what good. I was looking for. Yeah, that's what I was
in his career.
That's pretty good.
He got two third place finishes. So yeah, he's been up there a whole bunch. He joined in 2022 and made $14 million already without a win.
Pretty good.
That's exactly right.
Not bad at all. What else do you guys make from Valspar? JT. I don't want to say it's bad for the brand, but
that was bad. It's a bad Saturday.
I didn't see it. What happened?
He shot the wedding on 79 Saturday. On Saturday.
He birdied the first hole on Saturday to be tied for the lead. And yeah, he shot 79. He lost over 7 strokes on the greens. He had a combined, it was like 22 feet, 10 inches, something like that, of putts made for the entire round.
Good Lord.
He made a putt on the first hole that was like, let me pull it up here. He made a putt on the first hole. It was 2 feet, 9 inches long. That was the longest putt he made all day.
He needs to look at some different putting or some different putters. He's historically putted with the same style of putter,
and it's not working.
I mean, try something center shaft.
Good analysis, Jay.
I mean, it's really freaking not working, dude. I mean, look at Scottie Scheffler. He's tried 7 different things, and Justin keeps using the same damn putter. I'm like, dude, that putter doesn't work. Like, get something else in there. I mean, I think we all have our own opinions on what, you know, how good of a player he can be and where he sits, but he's much better than what he's doing right now. And, you know, you don't win 2 major championships shooting 79s and losing 7 strokes of the field in putting. So he's obviously hit a rut. And I think, I don't know about you guys, but when I watch him play, this is just putting. Now, I've got my own opinion on his golf swing, but just putting, it reminds me of Sergio when Sergio was going through that kind of rough phase. It was like, it looked very slow, careful, methodical, and it was just no athleticism to it at all. It was like, it just looked like it was taking too long. Like, hit it in, knock it in, dude. It's 3-footer. Get up and knock it in. You know, it's almost like I'd rather tell him just to don't take any practice strokes. Just put the putter behind the ball, look at the hole, and knock it in. And if you miss a couple, great. Yeah. But eventually, you're going to hit way more good putts than you are doing what you're doing right now. You know, it's like he just needs to speed it up. Just go. Just putt it. You know.
Yeah, I think the routine needs to be altered. I think his mindset obviously needs to be altered, and I definitely think the putter.
Yeah.
Need some experimenting. I mean, it can't get much worse. He's 164th in putting right now on tour.
Yeah. I mean, Scotty's much better than that.
Yeah.
We kept harping on how bad a putter Scotty was. I mean, he's not putting that bad.
And JT he's 9th strokes gained tee to green. So the rest of his game off the tee, approach, around the green, it's adding up. He's a top 10 player and everything, but, you know, but putting. I mean,
his driving is still not good. His
driving's not good, but still tee to green factors that in. So
yeah, I get it. But I mean, he's definitely, he hits it long enough, and, which again, that kind of can manipulate the numbers a little bit. But I think the other part with the full swing stuff, it's like, I think he's trying to, I don't know, he likes talking about curving the ball. Like, I'm like, dude, you're not Tiger. Like, don't be Tiger. Just hit your shot and just go. Like, I feel like he's trying to hit all kinds of different shots with his driver. And I'm like, why are you trying to hit a low stinger driver? Just hit.
Change your mind.
Just hit the shot in play. Like, whatever that is. If you're hitting a butt cut, hit it in play. Like, who cares? Nobody can see you, that you hit a low stinger or a, you know, it's almost like he's doing it for show, but nobody cares. Like, I don't care if you can hit a cut or a draw. I can see that you're missing the fairway a lot. I mean, I'd rather you just hit the fairway. Just, I don't care what it is. You know, I mean, Scottie Scheffler doesn't care. Look at his feet. I mean, he's jumping and hopping and skipping all the way down the fairway, right? You know, 320 right down the middle.
So impressive that he does that.
It is so impressive. Like,
impressive.
It blows my mind that watching it. But you know what? I downloaded a couple swings from this weekend because I had a couple lessons and I wanted some people to see, you know, all the other things that he does well. I mean, the golf swing is good. Like, from, I mean,
you don't get distracted by the lower body.
Yeah, people get distracted by the lower body, but if you really watch it, like, the whole swing is pretty good, and until, like, right at impact, it's really after impact that you see his feet all sliding all over the place. So I'm not saying that it's still not odd, and it could be. I mean, there was one, he almost fell over a couple weeks ago. I mean, literally.
He tripped himself.
Literally, it looked like he almost tripped himself up. But a lot of it happens after the swing, and throughout the swing, it's really good. I mean, he's got an incredible grip. I didn't realize he still uses a grip reminder club to warm up with.
Like, he's another one with his putting issues, his routine to me. Like, he's so reactionary when he swings the club.
Yeah.
Gotti.
And putting, right? It's opposite.
And then he just kind of, like, I don't know. It's just, all the athleticism that he has in his full swing is gone when he stands over, and he just looks rigid and awkward, and he's thinking, or he just gets up to an iron and he's got a 3-iron and he just fucking flushes it, and it's high and soft and curved right next to the flag. It's like,
yeah,
But then he gets over the putter and it's just completely different. Like, you know, kind of.
I think that's an underrated, you know, part of putting, you know, rhythm. And you look at some of the best putters in the world ever. And Brad Faxon comes to mind at the top. And just like the whole, everything about what he did, from like his approach into the golf ball, putting the putter head behind the ball, getting his feet set, looking at the hole and then putting, it all seemed so seamless. It was like, it was one big fluid motion. He was always moving and never felt stagnant, but not like, it wasn't like moving all over the place out of control. It's just like, there's little subtle movements and he had
little perfect little taps. He had this, yep. His, you could see his fingers just kind of gently, I'm not going to say re-grip the club, but they're just almost like pulsing on there. Him and Ben Crenshaw, yeah. Like almost never stopped moving until boom, then the putter right went back.
And then like through like the whole approach through impact seemed, like I said, it seemed like all one thing, like, oh, the putting stroke actually started, you know, back as he walked into the putt. Like it was almost like it was all fluid, like every looking at the hole, the putter goes back and hits. And it's like, oh, wow, that was so rhythmic. And I equate the same thing to a full scale swing, like Ben Hogan, you know, watched him waggle the golf club, you know, it was just like these big smooth waggles. And it was just like, it never stopped. It was a waggle right behind the ball. And he took the club away and hit it. And it was like, man, that was just, it was like as fluid as you could get. And back to your point with JT and with Scotty, it doesn't look fluid at all. It just, it looks like they're doing everything that everyone's told them to do to get ready, to get set, you know, to get ready to go, to get ready to putt. And then by doing that, it's they're frozen. Like, well, wait, I can't putt like this. You know, it looks good. I'm perfectly square. My back is straight. And, you know, the putter has aimed perfectly at the target, but I can't pull the putter back and hit it because I can't putt from this position.
Are they kind of almost like, when they're like staring down so much, they're losing perception of the line, the speed, the visualization, the hole. You know, it's like if you were, I think I actually heard Parker McLaughlin say this one time talking about putting, which is, he's known for his short game and chipping, but he was a great putter of the ball when he was on tour. He was talking about like Shaq. If you ever look at Shaq during a free throw, you know, he was taking forever and he was like looking at his hand, like holding the ball, like as terrible. He's shooting it. You know, where a good free throw shooter, you know, was watching the Clemson basketball game, and we have our guard Joe Girard, who's, I think he's second in free throw percentage. And
you
it's
said,
like
you said, our guard. Who are you talking about?
Clemson Tigers, baby. Sweet 16. It was like one spin, one dribble, and as soon as that dribble comes back, it's boom. Mm-hmm. It's. And the guy's beautiful like 95%. Routine. You know, it's just like quick, simple, never stops moving, and it's just like straight up.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about this before. It's what happens when you get focused on the process, not on the result. You become process focused, it's very hard to reach your desired result. Versus, and it's the same thing with putting. And I know we talked about was it David Orr, who's the putting coach out of Campbell. The first thing he does with guys is have you put left-handed, one-handed. All sorts of different ways, and ultimately shows you like you're getting all these putts to about the same spot. So we need to remove how we're looking at this equation and ultimately start to focus in more on how we approach the putt. What are we doing? What's our process? What are we focused on more than it is an actual lesson in relation to what your stroke's doing and what's the technical aspect of your putting stroke?
Well, yeah, like Faxon, he's known for giving Rory like a 5-wood or a sand wedge, or if anyone out there is struggling putting, just try to belly your sand wedge or take your hybrid out or your 3-wood or whatever you have for wood and start putting with that. And you forget the mechanics, and it just simply becomes, hit how do I get this ball to that hole?
Yeah.
Like, and you let your athleticism take over and your, versus being so worried about your path and the face and is my grip right? And like, cause obviously with a 5-wood, you're standing awkward, your posture's changing, your grip's changing, the club's really long. Like it's just like, okay, how do I put this club face on the ball to get it towards that hole?
Yeah. I like, I don't know. Cam Smith was talking about his putting technique. And I thought, you know, I thought the way that he approached it is really cool. He doesn't take any practice strokes. He just kind of gets up to the ball and he just kind of stares down the target, which I love. I mean, I just think it's like when you become enamored with the target and seeing the ball rolling towards that target and you're really visualizing the topography of the green, you're like, oh, well, I can really see that this putt's going to break this much. I can feel it in my feet. I'm using my vision. And now you're really focusing on seeing the ball roll to your target, not about your putter head going back and hitting the ball. You know, like you said, Mike, in the end of the day, the target is making the ball fall on the bottom of the cup and moving the ball in the direction that's going to make that happen, not about the actual strike. If you focus in front of you towards the target, then the strike is going to happen the way that you want most of the time.
That's how Dave Stockton teaches. Dave Stockton teaches no practice strokes.
I mean, I'm kind of into it. I think for people who get stuck and get kind of ball bound and get analytical, I think it's a good move, a really good move.
I like to tell my guys to either not make a practice stroke if they feel comfortable. If they feel like they have to make a practice stroke, do it, but look at the hole when you're making your practice stroke.
Always. Yeah, always.
So you can calibrate that. You know, what your eyes see, your body's going to kind of calibrate to what you're looking at. And it's just like if you were throwing a baseball, if you had to throw a baseball 20 yards or throw a baseball 40 yards, you don't really think about it. You just look at your target and your mind and your body adjust to how far you throw it. In golf, we think about how hard we have to hit a putt.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
Or we don't have to. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
So. But, man, JT, you know, come on, dude. Killing us here. Clayton and I need you. We need you.
We need you.
Jay did say he was a top tier player last week.
Yeah, so. I can't believe that even came out of my mouth. It's not true. I think we're just, I think I've gotten so accustomed to using the word top tier that it just slipped out. And I was like, I don't, that is not true at all. But it's all good.
Here's a thought I had over the weekend. And we've talked about PGA Tour schedule and the events and all this kind of stuff. Is this a week the PGA Tour should be off? I think the PGA Tour needs to go to a calendar schedule where it's 3 weeks a month and have a break in there. You'll get more of the guys playing together, even in some of these, you know, less than, you know, these non-signature events, these non-big purses. And then, like, on a week like the opening weekend of March Madness, no one's paying attention. It was 1.8 million viewers on Sunday. Just, there's just certain calendar weeks of the year with other sports going on. Just take the week off.
Take the week off. Don't compete. Don't compete with March Madness.
It's only going to hurt your brand more. People think, because then the ratings come out of 1.8 million viewers. Like, oh, God, that's awful.
Yeah, I agree. Don't even compete with it. Not worth it.
Like, it's just... I don't know. And again, it sounds like the whispers of this whole meeting. Sounds like this is a long ways away with the PIF. Apparently, it was cordial and all that, but it sounded like everyone was down there. The whole board, the representatives from SSG. I think they said it was all at Tiger's house, is what I heard, down at the Bahamas.
Pretty cool, though.
Tiger and Yasir played golf together, and then I guess there was a follow-up board meeting the next day on Tuesday. These board members must be like, why the fuck did I do this?
Like, well, if you're hanging out at Tiger's house playing golf, that sounds cool.
Yeah, but, hanging out at Albany. I'm sure they had some nice accommodations for them set up.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the end of the world, but like they could just be focusing on their own golf game and, you know, not worrying about flying all over the place for these damn meetings.
Don't you kind of want to know, like, where Pete O'Malnati stayed and where Yasser stayed? What's the difference in their accommodation?
Peter O'Malnati got the pool house.
Yeah. Yasser's in a, you know, palace down the street.
The penthouse suite. The Baja Mar.
That's great.
Probably a little different accommodations.
Yeah, I would guess so.
Probably different airfare as well. Peter was back in coach.
Peter got on someone else's private plane. Yasser took his own, one of his.
Yeah.
Right, let's take the 737.
All right, Peter, you want to hop on my jet? That's fine. You don't have to pay any gas.
Peter's on the flight. He's like, y'all have food here?
Oh, man. You just grabbing all the snacks and drinks that he can. Yeah.
Loading up his luggage. Like, I'm taking this home with me.
He's blown away. He saw a stewardess twice. And he's like, this is crazy. Does she work for you? This is awesome. I only ever get one in coach. Man, this is so much better than Southwest. I just have
to wait for the cart to come by.
Oh, my God. He gets off the plane. They're like, where's baggage claim? They're like, Peter, that's not how this works.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't need a travel case for your clubs on this plane, pal. You just put them down below.
Yeah. That's
Shit. This is a fucking mess. This whole thing.
It is. That's one thing that's on my bucket list. I want to fly private somewhere.
I've done it a few times. It's pretty fucking nice.
Yeah, absolutely. I guarantee it is.
Definitely the way to travel. I've been pretty fortunate to do it 3 times, and it's the way to go. Yeah. I'll say.
Yeah, I like it. Jay, what did you just grab? Oh, a beer. You're like a wine bottle at first. I just saw the top of it.
Dogfish Head.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a night.
What a night. Had a bourbon and night. Going for a beer.
I like it.
All right. We got anything else? It's pretty freaking slow week. It was a really slow week.
Yeah. I wish I could give you some more, but we went really in depth on Peter Malnati tonight. So.
Did we?
did we? About as deep as you could go.
I promise I looked at more of his stats in the last 2 hours than I have ever.
Oh, that's a fact. Yeah, absolutely. But they were exactly what I thought they would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say we only have 2 more weeks until one of the best weeks of the year.
It's coming. It's close. I got the taste of the Masters. Bought the whole big package. Taste of the Masters.
That's going to be awesome. So does that come with all of the, all of the different sandwiches you can get? It comes with the recipe to make it, all the ingredients.
No. So it comes pre-packaged.
Oh, awesome.
Like I had to pick a delivery date for it. So they prepare it and then ship it. But it comes with the pimento cheese, the egg salad, barbecue, no buns or whatever. But then it has all the 2 or 3 different kinds of flavors of chips and cookies, and got napkins and coasters and cups and even the paper to wrap the sandwiches in. Yeah. Can't wait.
No, unpopular opinion. The pimento cheese is just okay. The egg salad is fantastic.
Hey, the egg salad is really good. You might be right there.
Fantastic.
It's definitely better than the pimento cheese.
It's not even close. Not even close.
I'm a big fan of the pimento cheese. But I do like the egg salad better. I will say that. I told my wife that I spent $180 on this package mainly for the cups that come with it, and that did not not go over that well. Probably should not have said that. That was definitely a bogey when it left my lips.
Especially when you're going to give a cup to everybody that comes over to the house. You're just going to let them, your guests, take the cups.
Everyone's going to get a regular solo cup, and I'm keeping all the Masters cups.
There's a caveat. It's like, hey, you can borrow this cup while you're here,
but you can't take it to the house. Not a take them. Please put it in the dishwasher before you leave.
I have them numbered. I wrote down who has a cup. I will follow up after this if something's missing.
I will follow up, and I'll come get my cup.
And it's Lindy's birthday on Saturday of the Masters. And she's like, what are we doing for my birthday? I'm like, I don't know, but we're having a party on Sunday for the Masters. I haven't thought about your birthday yet, but I get the Masters Sunday covered. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. If anyone listening to this podcast needs accommodations in Augusta Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I have some that are not going to potentially be used at the Homewood Suites right down the street from the golf course. And I'm willing to negotiate.
Why do you have a hotel?
Because I planned on being there. I booked it last summer. And they and they had rooms available. And ultimately, I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and get them. But the hospitality house that we normally go to, they shut down. The guy sold the house. So they're not going to have it this year. And some other guys that I talked to that we met down there, they're not going either because of the hospitality house. So I'm not going to go.
Huh.
But I do have hotel
no
room.
Hospitality. I just can't go to Masters.
Yeah, if I can't get massages, meat. You know, all of the drinks and cigars that I want to.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You can't walk around with the peasants. It's just the normal folk that have to walk around and go home to no massages and have to pay for their beer. Ugh.
Can't do it. Yeah, it's not for me.
Can you, Mike, can you still get ticket? You get one ticket or two tickets as an MAPGA?
As a PJ member, I can get in myself.
That's it. You can just get you, just you.
No, yeah. Yeah. No guests.
So you still do the lottery every year?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for my life on the lottery. Yeah. Cause it's like, I mean, I could go with some other PJ professional buddies, which would be fun and all, but like, you know, I want to take my wife or my kids or other friends or, you know, like other family, you know? So it's, I always do it to try to get some extra tickets. I've been fortunate to work a couple little connections. I took my brother 1 year and took my dad for his 70th birthday.
That's sweet.
So, that was cool, but yeah. So next is my wife. We'll see.
I mean, I don't think she really wants to be there. I think if you win four tickets, I think there's a couple of the people that would really like to go with you.
You know,
I don't think she'd really enjoy it.
Yeah,
I think she would actually, but I'm easily bought. As my claim knows, I'm easily bought.
It goes both ways, there, my friend.
So, all right, I guess we're just going to get to our picks. We'll make this a quick episode, unless you guys get anything else on your mind from the world of golf.
No, let's do it. Unfortunately.
Let's do it.
No one's really playing golf here, so we can't talk about that much. It's going to rain again the next 2 days in Richmond. It's really fucking annoying.
I did get a new 4-iron for my set.
Oh, there we go.
Super stoked about.
Not did it come in?
Can we do Jay Woodson's Tech Talk, which you never do before the show?
This is normally what we do before. And I guess I rely on my colleagues here to fill me in on what's good.
I don't do anything. You get a virtual Zoom club fitting like every other week on Tech Talk.
It's awesome. It's great. I mean, McLean's like a damn genius. Like, why would I not talk about it with him?
Did you get your driver?
I haven't gotten the driver yet, but I did get the 4-iron. So basically, just to not that anybody cares, my 4-iron and my 5-wood, there's a pretty big gap there. Like I cannot hit my 4-iron like I used to. It probably goes 210, pretty much 210 max, unless it's really hot, get to 215. But my 5-wood is great. It goes about 240. It carries about roughly 237, 240. So that's a pretty big gap. So anyway, I had the MB or MC 4-iron, and I got a 770 with a Mitsubishi 125 graphite shaft. I got it a little longer, and the hope is that I can get it up to closer to 220, so I can close that gap a little bit.
I'm making some equipment.
I hit it in the lake yesterday when it came in. It was pretty sweet. I mean, I hit the lake, so that was good.
Well, it's like your entire backyard. So for those of you listening, Jay has a lake in the behind his house.
It's more like a pond, but I hit the pond, I hit the lake. I didn't miss it, so it was pretty good.
But it's also like 140 yards wide.
Yeah, yep. I didn't have to tell everybody that.
I guess you didn't chunk it and lay the sod over it, so that's a good thing.
I could have easily done that.
Currently, your driver has a scheduled ship date of 3/28.
Yes, That's Friday. Can't wait. I'm not going to lie. I hit that. I know I'm setting myself up for failure here, but the combination that I hit that TaylorMade LS 9-degree with that Ventus 6X. Nothing special. Black. Yeah, the Ventus black, not the TR. That's too stiff for me, but I went with the regular one, and I absolutely smashed it. And I know it was the honeymoon phase. I played 9 holes with it, but I didn't miss a fairway and hit it right down the middle of every fairway. I'm like, this is as good as it's going to get. It's probably not going to get any better than this, but the driver's coming. We'll see.
And you already had the shaft?
Already had the shaft. Yeah. Already had the shaft. So I'm going to, I'll put it in. I'll put it in the head when it comes. But
yeah.
I got to
cut. You know what? I'm saying that on purpose. I'm calling myself out because I know that's like the worst thing you can do is say how good you hit a driver. You just bought it. You know you're not going to hit it that good ever again. But damn it, it was so good. I had to just say it. I had to talk about it. It was good. If you have not hit that driver, you need to hit it. Mike, you got the regular one, not the LS, though.
I got the regular one. Yeah. No free ads, though. We got to wait for a sponsorship.
I mean, I'm no ad. I'm just saying it's good. Like, you need to hit it.
I got a putter with a dot coming, Jay. Can't wait for that. You.
Teasing me with this.
Putter with a dot.
What shape is it? Kind of the mallet stuff that you typically use?
It's a little bigger of a mallet than I typically use. So
who convinced you to go with the dot and get rid of the line?
Not you. Is that what you're trying to get at?
No, I'm not. I'm just curious. You've heard me say that spiel forever. So you,
obviously no, I mean, partly it's listening to you for the last 15 years that I've known you talk about dots on putters.
You just have no choice.
Just finally like, all right, fucking Jay, I'll get a dot in my putter. All right.
See what happens.
No, because I always aim my putter right.
Yeah.
I was actually messing around on the putting green the other day with our buddy Paris, and he's like, man, you're rolling really well. Like your line, the black line, the ball is like end over end.
He goes, always does that. It always like, rolls like that.
He goes, you don't aim the putter right. Like correctly is what he meant. And I was like, I know. I was like, no, I know. I aim it right because I freaking release the hell out of it. He goes, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, it's square when it hits the ball. It's just not square when I start. And so sometimes it does throw me off. And I feel like when I do.
You're trying to manipulate
to manipulate too much when I'm out of dress. And I just want the dot and just stroke it and let it go and hit it.
And let your athleticism, your vision and your feel. And,
yeah,
the feel. And everything just get the putter at square.
Just send it down the line, you know? So, yeah. And I just wanted to impress you.
I mean, I know that was the number one thing, but that's okay. I mean, outside of it, I'm probably going to make more putts, but you know,
the re-putt everything, but it has so Jay will be happy.
It's going to look good. And when you don't want that putter, just let me know. I'll buy it off of you.
You got to lengthen it probably. So, yeah. All right. Who wants to make their picks for the Houston Open?
I guess I'll go. I mean, the last couple of weeks I've been with everything. Like I'm going to, Mike, you and I are in another pool together and two pools together and we've got this. I've been off and I don't really know what I feel good about the picks that I make when the week starts. And then
I
guys have just played poorly.
I don't know what it is because in that other league that we're in, I'm doing awesome. I've won twice. I think I'm second overall for the season. And this one, I'm absolutely abysmal at the DraftKings one that we do in the podcast. I'm terrible. I can't somehow match them up.
Anyway, yeah, I'm with you. But without going into any detail, because obviously the last 2 weeks have been pretty poor. So. Take it or leave it. So I'll always start from the bottom. 7,500 Luke List. Another $7,500 player, Akshay Bhatia. And then at 7,800, Mackenzie Hughes. I feel like all of my picks, I had to pick like all these mid-tier guys because the really low guys, I couldn't find anybody that I liked to try to fit Scheffler in. I'm hoping you guys found a way to do it, but I couldn't do it. Anyway, then I jump up to 8,000 Jake Knapp. Again, another course that seems to fit the long players. So we'll see with him.
Yeah, it's like almost 7,500 yards, par 70. So it's
It's pretty long. I mean, and longer players have played well here. I mean, I didn't realize my next player that I'm going to mention is Steven Yeager. He's pretty long too. He's not an overly big guy either. Like he's not like
he's gained a ton of yards in the last like 2 years.
But he's hammering it. I mean, Akshay hammers it, Yeager hammers it, Jake Knapp, Luke List, Mackenzie Hughes isn't really not a, he's not a guy who really hammers it, but for whatever reason, he's been playing some pretty good solid golf. So, you know, I figured he can keep it going even with the long golf course, may not win, but, you know, have a good finish. But last but not least, 10,100, Will Zalatoris. Seems like the guy's trending the right way outside of the players. I know he didn't play well there, but before that, playing really good golf. And always the players I take with a grain of salt. I mean, it is just one of the weirdest places to play. You can be playing great and go there and miss the cut, and then the next week you come back and win. Like, it's just,
yeah,
it's its own thing. So I'm gonna just chalk that up to Pete Dye. He got PB died, not PB died, but Pete died. So I think Will's gonna come back pretty strong this week. So there you go. Like I said, I dug into it, but not without giving you guys a whole lot of detail. That's what I'm thinking.
I had three or four of your players at one point and have taken them off my roster. So we're thinking a little bit similar there.
Oh, like right now, right after I'm...
No. Like earlier this afternoon. I redid my team about 10 times. So I had List on there. I had Akshay on there at one point. I had Mackenzie Hughes on there at one point. So, all right, I'll go next. I'll start at the bottom. Friend of the pod, maybe we say that. He's been on the podcast. Joe Bramlett, $6,600.
Ooh.
Came off a top 20 last week and hits the ball a mile. So I like him this week. Then you want to go to a guy who's just been playing really steady recently, $6,900, Andrew Novak. Other than the players, missed the cut, has been playing. He had three top 10s before that, top 20. This past week. So I like him at 6,900. Then I will go up to K.H. Lee, a guy who hits it a long way, has played well on very similar type of venues in Texas before. The guy loves Texas. A couple wins in the state. He won at the Byron with a kind of a long golf course as well with some runoff areas. This golf course, you'll see at the Houston Open, has a lot of short grass runoff areas around the greens. Then I go up to Steven Yeager for the reasons you said, playing solid. I think it's a good course fit. He has been hitting it a mile recently. Then I go up to one of the two winners, either Mr. Jason Day at $9,500, just as steady gets. And then I got 10,300, Sahith Thagala. I think it's a great spot for him. He's played well here in the past.
I had him in my lineup for a while there till the very last second. I had to switch him out.
So I got one of those two guys winning this week.
Like it.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
We are
the winner again. Here we go. Let's read off the power rankings.
So we have almost all the same guys. I've got Sahith. I've got Zalatoris. Anyone have Zalatoris?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
All right. I thought so. So I got Sahith. I got Zalatoris. I got Novak. My other three, rounding it out, Keith Mitchell.
Guys, I had him at one point. Took him off.
Yep. I've got Ryder.
Who?
And then Sam Ryder.
Oh, Ryder. Okay.
Yep. And then hailing from Texas himself.
Is he back?
Had to do it. I'm going back to him. We are back with Ryan
Palmer. How much does he cost?
Not $14. Not a lot.
The ghost of Ryan Palmer.
The ghost of Ryan Palmer.
What has he done recently?
Nothing.
Couldn't tell you.
Gosh, $6,200, Ryan Palmer. He did make the cut at the Valspar last week.
Yep. Gotta watch out for him.
I don't know if you do.
He's in Texas.
He does love Texas.
Loves Texas golf. I'm a little surprised Jordan Spieth's not playing.
Jesus, here's his finishes. 54th last week. miscut, cognizant, 52nd at the Mexico Open, Amex miscut, Sony miscut, RSM miscut going back to the last fall. He did have two top tens at the Jay's favorite Butterfield Bermuda Championship, and then the Worldwide Technology Championship, another top 10. But then it was miscut 68th, miscut, 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 miscut. It's a hell of a pick, McClain.
Well, it could
you
be.
A, just watch.
He could be a winner. He is good with the power rankings.
You guys just watch.
And he's not worried. He's only missed.
Was not featured in the power.
Thank God. I mean, he's played well here. He had he's missed the cut three of the last 4 years here at the Houston Open. 26, 2 years ago.
This is his year.
Wow. Of all weeks. I guess you did pick a couple big guys there with both Sahith and Zalatoris. So a lot of dollars.
I had some other players that I could have taken, but I saw him sitting right there for the taking. I'm like, he's in Texas.
He's going to be there for the taking for a long time.
He's going to be there for the taking a lot.
I mean, you could have gone with Stu Sink, who's the same dollar amount, who just played well last week. Still hits the ball a mile.
Hell, works
with a friend of the pod, John Scott Rattan.
He does. That's right.
I think Malnati was cheaper than Ryan Bomber. I'm not kidding.
Saw.
I like how you guys are judging my picks.
No, we're losing to you. We should not be judging you right now. I started off hot. I do that every year. I start off hot and then slowly just fall off. Although a couple weeks ago I had a really good week and won by a lot. So if we were keeping the total number of points throughout the year, that would have been cool. Like I'm talking about each week, like
yeah.
Cumulative points, yeah. Next year.
Well, I'll let you guys do that next year.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah. All right, gents. We're going to keep this under an hour for maybe like the first time ever in the history of the Merge 9 Golf Podcast.
Wow. Well, it is what it is.
You know, we're a slow week. Not much going on. Not the best of events on the PGA Tour.
Hence, but, good to take a week off this week. I do like your point. Without to extend this to try to make it an hour and 20 minutes, which we could easily do.
No, we're good. I mean, I'm fine going to bed.
But I do agree that I think we've said this on the pod. I think it would probably make sense to go maybe not 3 out of every month. Maybe if you did 5 out of 6 weeks, or 8 weeks, or something like that. You know. I think it would be good because I think it would give people a little bit of a break and they could time it out with other big events and they're not going to watch anyway. And like, oh man, I didn't watch golf last weekend. You know, what happened? Oh, they didn't play. Oh, great. Well, let me see what's going on. It's been 2 weeks. So I don't know. I think that's.
Yeah. It's always a little bit of a letdown after a big event, you know?
Yeah.
And typically guys are playing a lot leading into that big event. And so just take the week after off. And a lot of these ones and let everyone kind of recharge. And then you're more likely to get the stars to play in more of the non-signature events and play together. And I mean, you have a smattering of them last week, smattering of them this week. You know, you got a decent field with Scotty and Wyndham, Thigala, Jason Day, Zalatoris, Finau, you know, decent crop of bigger names, but I think if you could just spread it out a little bit more. So
agreed.
All right, we're at 58 minutes, so we're gonna say goodbye so we can keep this under an hour.
Just wow.
So we have a milestone victory here.
Great.
So all right. Appreciate it, gents, to all of our listeners. As always, thank you, and we'll be back next week.
Later.
Take care, guys.